Well, good morning once again. We're glad that you're with us this morning. We're going to continue an idea that we started last week. Now, if you weren't here last week, that's okay. I think that you'll still be able to pick up and just keep going, and that's okay. But if you were here last week, what we talked about was getting re-rooted. In this time when we're being disoriented by everything around us, getting re-rooted in our faith. In our vision, in what we're looking towards. And I threw out there one particular passage. And if you weren't here last week, this will get you going too. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. When Jesus looks at people and says, look, here's the thing. Those of you who are tired and weary, come to me and you'll find rest. That those of you who are exhausted, who are beat down, follow after me and learn from me. And there your souls will find rest. So we talked about how maybe the first step, if we want to get reoriented in this time of disorientation, is to actually go back. To go back and to get re-rooted in the things that are most important in our lives. We talked about businesses getting re-rooted in their vision, in their purpose, in their mission. Individuals getting re-rooted in that desire to have the rest that only God can give us. And then, once we go backwards, then moving forward creatively, moving forward in ways that maybe we would not have moved forward if we didn't have this time of disorientation. It's time of disruption. That maybe God can use this time of disruption to get us back rooted where we need to be, and then moving forward in new and creative and innovative ways. So this morning, really pretty simple. I want to talk about how do we move forward in new ways in our faith. I want to get really, really practical. How is it that we can be men and women, teenagers and children, that in the midst of this disruption, in the midst of this time of disorientation, that we can get back on track, really practically? How is it that we can be men, women, teenagers and children that move forward with confidence, knowing that God's with us? So as we prepare to walk through some scripture, and I have some things that I'm going to show you this morning to make this visual, as we prepare for this time together, let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you come, that you be with us during this time. Lord, this is a time when we are disoriented, when our normal has been disrupted, but yet it's a time that we know that you're still with us. If we know anything, we know that you work everything together for the good of those who love you. So we want to be people who have our eyes on you, who get back re-rooted in our knowledge that it's only in you that we can find true rest. And today, we want to talk about how it is that we can move forward, how it is that we can move forward with confidence into whatever the future holds. How can we be people that whose lives are built around you? So Lord, open our hearts and our minds during this time. I pray the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, they'll be pleasing to you, O Lord. You're our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so if we think about this time, here's the image that keeps popping into my head. I had this same image when I was in a season of transition in my life. When I was leaving a job and I was going into seminary, and I had this summer, and what it felt like is it felt like I had left one dock, and I knew that another dock was coming, but for the time being, I was just in the middle treading water. And there were things that I liked about it. I had freedoms that I didn't normally have. I kind of liked that it was new, that it wasn't the routine, but I also desperately wanted something to put my foot on, you know, some kind of grounding. And again, I knew that the new dock was coming, but I wasn't there yet. I feel like that's the way that I feel now, except the new dock is a floating dock, and sometimes it feels like it's drifting, and it is drifting further and further away. At some point, we're going to be in whatever new normal is, but how do we thrive in this in-between time? How do we thrive in this time of disruption? Okay. When I was growing up, one of the most important things in my life was the Boy Scouts. I was involved in the Boy Scouts. And the Boy Scouts opened up opportunities to me that I would not have had otherwise. to hike in places like Montana and New Mexico and all along the Appalachian Trail, in Virginia to go camping 8 to 10 times a year all around Virginia. It gave me opportunities to be in leadership that helped me to develop all kinds of skills that I don't know that I would have developed otherwise. It gave me basic skills like fire building and how to handle a pocket knife. Last summer, we were with some college kids, and I watched 3 college kids that had dry wood, a lighter, and lighter fluid. I watched them not be able to start a fire with all of those things. And I looked at my son Boyd, he was 8, and I said, "That will never be you, son. That's never going to be you. I don't trust anybody that can't start a fire with those 3 things. I'm not sure that I trust anybody who can't start a fire with just those first 2 things." The Boy Scouts helped me a lot. And one of the experiences that I had in the Boy Scouts that I would not have had otherwise, and this is one that you may not know about, is that early on in my Boy Scout career, so here we're talking about probably the early 90s, maybe the late 80s, I had the opportunity to learn, you're going to be really jealous now, how to weave a basket, okay? I don't know if you know this, but one of the first merit badges that a lot of Boy Scouts get is basket weaving. This is actually a merit badge. You can Google it if you'd like to. Basket weaving. So I'm a bit of an expert in baskets. So I need to tell you a little bit about baskets this morning before I tell you a little bit about the scripture. So if you're looking at these 2 baskets right here, there's a lot about the anatomy of a basket that we could talk about, but I really want to talk about 2 things. I want to talk about the weavers, okay? These are the reeds that are running this way on this basket. You can see it's mostly what you see. These are the weavers. Susan, make sure you don't feel left out right there. Okay, these are the weavers, and they determine the color of the basket. They determine the pattern. You can see this one is at an angle. This one is at a bit of an angle, but, you know, not too much. So these are the weavers. It's mostly what you see when you look at a basket. But hidden within the basket are the stakes. And the stakes are connected to the base. In fact, in this basket, they make up the base also. And they are what run up the side. Okay, and the stakes, you can't see them. I can see them on the inside are here, 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 and all the way across. They're what the weavers are woven around. You know, when you look at a basket, what you see are the weavers. It's what catches your eye about the basket. But really, it's the stakes that make up the form of the basket. You see, the stakes on this one are arranged in a rectangle. And the stakes on this one are arranged in an oval. You could do whatever you wanted to with the weavers, and this would still be a rectangle, and this would still be an oval. Do whatever you want to with the weavers, and it'll still be this high, and it'll still be this high. It's the stakes that determine the form, the shape, really the function of the basket. Now, let's just pretend for a moment like I am this basket. I gotta tell you, I spend most of my life focused on my weavers. Because it's what I see when I look in the mirror, and it's what other people see. I think mostly about the way that I present myself. What I don't think a whole lot about are my stakes. And yet my stakes are what the rest of my life are woven around. To help us to visualize this even more, I've got this right here. I got these baskets at a little place down the road, don't know if you've heard of it, on Lover's Lane called McCall's. It's a pretty nice place. You may want to check it out. So here's one of the baskets that I got there. And what I've done is, I bought 2 of them, is with this one, I've taken the weavers out, and you can see just the stakes. Do you see what I'm talking about here? So these are the stakes. This is what makes up the form of the basket. You can weave anything around there. I could put twine on this now. I could put sticks on this. I could put yarn. I could make it any color I wanted to, any pattern. And no matter what color, what pattern, what material I used, it would still be what? It would still be a rectangle. So it's left me wondering, what are the stakes in my life? And what are the stakes in your life? What are the pillars around which your life's built? You see, if you're anything like me, and I think that you probably are, it's so easy to focus on the weavers, on what you see and what everybody else sees. But really, no matter what you do with the weavers, your life is going to end up being formed by your stakes. So what are your stakes? Here, don't get real metaphorical with me. Get super practical. Here's the first one. What's the first thing you do in the morning? If you're like everybody else participating in this morning, you got some kind of routine in the morning. That you know, 9 days out of 10 is somewhat similar. What's the first thing that you do in the morning? So it may be that your first steak is 5 or 10 minutes in bed on your phone. It may be that your first steak is checking your email, or your first steak is scrolling through social media, or it's reading the news. It may be that your first steak is feeling the pitter-patter of kids' feet on the floor. And then, what's your last steak? What's the last thing that you do before you go to bed? And that'll tell you two of your most important steaks. But then, just go around with me. Think about the rest of your day. Think about what everything else is woven around. What are the main routines in your life? What are the main things around which the rest of your life is woven? It's your routine on the way to work. It's what you do when you're at work. It's your routine on the way home. It's the people that you talk to most frequently. A way to think about this is, what are the most common traits of your life? What's most ordinary? What's most routine? What are the stakes in your life? And then here's the big question for us this morning. Who's determining what your stakes are? You see what I'm saying? Who's determining what the main things around which the rest of your life is built? Who's determining what those are? Just basic observation. It seems like most of us have our stakes set up in our lives in one of three ways. For some of us, our stakes are, frankly, just whatever happens to happen. You know what I mean? I mean, this is like, if your kids are typically awake before you, then your life is just basically about whatever happens to happen. Because if they walk in a good mood, that's your first stake. If they walk in a bad mood, that's your first stake, right? For some of us, especially during this time, this is why some of us are so disoriented right now, for many of us, it's just a time where the days are kind of wheels off and every day looks a little bit different. And then you wonder why you feel exhausted and disoriented. Your stakes may be just whatever happens to happen, and there's not a lot of intentionality around it. For some of you, it's not that your stake is whatever happens to happen. For some of you, it's stakes that other people place in your life. If you start your day on your phone, I guarantee you that your first stake is a stake that somebody else put there. If you read the news before you do anything else, the first stake in your life is something that somebody else wants you to hear. If the first thing that you do in the morning is read your email, then you are starting your day, your first stake is with what other people need from you. If you start your day with social media, the same thing. You're starting your day with a stake that someone else has put there. The last way to do it, of course, is stakes that are purposefully placed. It's someone who says, look, my day will look different each day. I'm going to have different weavers. It's going to look different. In fact, I like there being a little bit of variety in my life. But I am going to purposefully place in my life the stakes, the most important things around which everything else is woven. And who gets to determine what those stakes are? Now, here's the thing. If we're not intentional about what those stakes are, somebody else will make sure they get in our lives. And again, if we're too attached to our phone, the people who make sure that they put stakes in our lives are people that are getting paid to do that, okay? We understand this. I mean, our phones are controlled by people who are making money off of our use of them, right? If we're not intentional, somebody else is going to set the stake up. Somebody else is going to determine the form of our lives. So, who has the authority to set up your stakes? Now, you would think, being good, like Western, open-minded Americans, you would think that I would say, who gets to determine where your stakes go, or what stakes are? You would think that I would say, you're the one, but I don't know. In my experience with my life, I don't always make the best decisions about how to organize my day or how to spend my time. I just don't. In fact, when I'm at my best, the stakes that I'm putting in my life are stakes that are orienting me towards the one who said, I can give you rest. It's when I'm putting stakes in my life that are orienting me towards the one who said, I came so that you can have life and have it abundantly. And the reality is that when Jesus says, I came so that you can have life better than you can imagine, many times I'm realizing that my life I could imagine being a lot better. When I'm at my best, the stakes around which the rest of my day is woven are stakes that point me towards the one who can do things in my life that I can't do for myself. So what does it look like, friends, for us to be people who are orienting our lives around God? I want to get really practical here. We've been reading the book of Acts, and one of the things that struck me in the book of Acts this time around is that over and over again, we see that the early Christians are not just interested in helping other people to know Jesus and to become Christians. They're interested in helping them be formed in the faith, okay? They're interested in not just telling people about Jesus. They're interested in helping people to form and mold their lives around the teachings of Jesus. There are a few ways to think about this. A way that I talk about frequently is that I used to think that Jesus was something to build in my life. I later found out that he was something that I could build my life around. I used to think that Jesus was just something that you believed in. I later found out that Jesus is something that can actually change you. I used to think, pushing the metaphor perhaps too far, that Jesus and the faith, Christianity, all that stuff, was a weaver to be woven around the other parts of my life. And I've actually found out that no, he is actually the stakes around which everything else can be woven. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Lots of people at this point are becoming Christians. In fact, 3,000 people on this very day, the verse before the one I'm going to read, have given their lives to Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. These 3,000 people, what they did, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Right there, right off the bat. We've got four things that they're devoting their lives to. Okay, those four things. And then it keeps going. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So when they believe in Jesus, and then they start doing these four things, then amazing stuff happens around them. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. So there's a fifth thing that they're doing. They're radically committed to helping those who are in need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So the church just explodes. So early on, you see, they're doing these five things: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, breaking bread together, praying and caring for one another, serving those that are in need. Do you see those five things? It's right there. Right at the beginning of the church, you see these five things. Without knowledge of this right here, for years I have been asking people, what are the things that you have seen God use to change your life? Or what are the things that you have seen God use to change other people's lives? What are the things? And invariably, I'm not kidding, invariably, it comes back to these five things. Without talking about this, invariably, people not studying the scripture, just saying, hey, just think about your life. What has God used to change your life? What have you seen? People always come back. It's prayer. And it's time in scripture. And when it talks about breaking bread here, it connects it later to worshiping in the temple. It also is a connection to communion, okay? Or there's a worship. Community with other people. And serving others. Invariably, it comes back to those five things. So let me just ask you. What would it look like if the stakes in your life revolved around those five things? What would your life look like? Because friends, look, whatever your stakes are, whatever those habits, those routines that you do daily, whatever those stakes are, that's what's going to determine the form of your life more than anything else. Let me just give you a couple of examples, just kind of push this. Let's say that you or somebody that you know is living a very stressful life, okay? And let's just imagine that these are the stakes in their life. They wake up, and the first thing that they do is they check their email, okay? So they begin responding to other people. They rush out the door without eating breakfast, without really spending time with their family or with any loved ones or anything like that. They rush out the door, they get to work, and at work, they're hopped up on caffeine, and they're just running from activity to activity. So that's your morning, and then the rest of your morning. And then at lunch, you talk to somebody that just creates more stress in your life, right? I mean, somebody that you like talking to, but, you know, their anxiety is always to the roof, so yours is too. Or somebody that stresses you out. And then in the afternoon, you switch to Diet Coke, but it's kind of more of the same. And then you get home, and when you get home, if you've got kids, you don't have any kind of plan with how you're going to spend time with them, so you're kind of just biding 2 hours until you can get them fed and get them in bed. And then you watch a little bit of TV, but of course, you don't watch anything relaxing. You know, you watch something about someone whose life is even more stressful than yours. You know what I mean? Like, Amy and I watch Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan's life is more stressful than mine, and I walk away absorbing some of his stress. You know what I mean? And then you go to bed, but before you go to bed, you got to check the news a little bit, you know. Maybe you scroll through social media and you get on Twitter and you have celebrities telling you what you need to be concerned about. And then you scroll Instagram and you got your friends, you know, their lives are all better than yours, so you feel bad about that. And then you get on Facebook and, you know, invariably you're going to feel bad about who you're voting for, right? I mean, you scroll and all it does is stress you out. Look, this is going to be hard for some of you to hear, but it's true. If those are the pillars in your life, if those are the stakes, you can change so much of this. I mean, you can change even the big things here. You can change the color and the shape of the weaving. You can change your job. You can even change who you are married to. But if you have those same stakes in your life, nothing's going to change. But imagine this. What if you started your day, and before you got on your phone, you spent a few minutes in prayer? I'm not talking about a long time. And you just identified two or three things that you're grateful for. And you spent just a few minutes reading some scripture and reflecting on it. We're now at like 20 minutes, okay? What if you started your day with those two pillars? And then on your desk at work, you had a picture of your family. And when you got stressed out, you took just a moment to pray and to remind yourself of why you work. It's for them. And for the glory of God. You just take a minute to just throw that stress towards him. And at lunch, you don't talk about somebody that stresses you out. You don't talk to them. But you talk to somebody that pours like goodness into your life. You go home and you read something that's edifying. And when you get with your kids, you kind of have a plan of how you're going to spend time with them. You commit to spending 3 minutes one-on-one with each kid. If you have three kids, we're talking about 9 minutes, maybe 12 with some transition time. You commit to spending 5 minutes with all of them together just to kind of check in with them. Now you're about 30 minutes of your day. But in 30 minutes, you've built a pillar in your life that will transform not only your life, but in other people's lives also. And what if you went to bed and, you know, for 5 minutes after you put the phone away, you said another 5 minutes of prayer where you reflected on the things that you wish had gone differently and you asked for some forgiveness in your life and you thank God for the things that went well and you're grateful. Can you imagine how many ugly things could be woven into your life? Things that you can't. Can you imagine how bad this stuff could get? And you still be okay. Not necessarily you like it, but you still be okay. What are the stakes in your life? I can tell you this. In my life, I am at my best when I have stakes throughout my day that are pointing me towards the one who loves me and the one who can do things that I can't do for myself. When my faith is not something that is woven into my day, but my faith is the thing around which everything else is woven, that is when I am at my best. So, what are your stakes? Let me recommend just a few. These examples, and really, frankly, everything that I'm teaching on this morning has been pretty influenced by a book called The Common Rule by Justin Early. You should read it. It's really, really good. Justin Early, The Common Rule. And he's from Richmond, Virginia, where I'm from, so that's pretty good. Here's some suggestions. What if your first pillar was this? This is straight out of Justin's stuff. What if your first pillar was this? This is so good. Scripture before phone. Just that. Just that. Imagine what that would do. But what if when it came to prayer, I've had that habit for a while now of stopping throughout the day and trying to pray. And then I was telling a friend of that recently, and he came up with such a better name for it than I've ever come up with. He calls them micro prayers, okay? Just like 3 to 5 times a day. Just stop. And just pray for just a couple of minutes. Micro prayers. Well, what would that look like? What if instead of on the way to the bathroom, you hit up Twitter to have celebrities yell at you, and instead you just prayed on the way? And what if when it comes to worship, if we made, and look, a lot of you are doing this, you're doing it this morning, it's not a daily thing, but it's a weekly thing. Just Sunday morning worship was just an essential for us, online and eventually in person. And maybe you want worship to be a part of your daily routine, and you just commit, I'm going to listen to one worship song on Spotify a day, okay? And then what about with community? If you said, I'm going to have 1 hour, and this is from Justin's work, 1 hour of real honest conversation with one friend a week. If you want it daily, you could say, I'm going to text some encouragement to one person a day. Okay. And then with the service piece, this isn't where I thought I would go with this, but I think that this is the best place to go. What if just a part of your monthly routine, or every two-week routine for some of you, was to give a percentage of what you earn to those that are in need through the church or through some other organization? And I think that that's like the one, because Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also, you know? So wherever that percentage is going, that's where your heart's going to be. You're probably going to end up serving in that community. But maybe if it's something you want daily, maybe it's daily, again, sending somebody some encouragement, or maybe it's weekly, donating an hour's worth of your time. Look, it doesn't matter. What would your life look like if those were the pillars? And here's where we are. And this is how I'll wrap up. We need more sturdy baskets. I mean, at this time, you know what I mean? Like, we need more men and women. We need more teenagers. We need more children whose lives are sturdy. And here's what I know. I can't do that for myself. I'm just not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the willpower. I just can't do that for myself. I see the kind of basket that I want to be, the shape and the form and the height and all that, and I just can't do it. But neither can you on your own. You just can't. But you can put pillars in place that are going to point you towards the one that can. And we need more kids and more teenagers and more women and more men that got those pillars in our lives. Just simple stuff. Like reading the scripture before we do anything else. We need more people like that. Whose lives are just, they're defined by their faith. The form of their lives is around Jesus. It's around loving God. And it's around loving other people. So I'm going to wrap up with this just quick thing that should put a bow on this. I've had the opportunity to go on a bunch of short-term mission trips, all with teenagers. Maybe I'll go on one with adults sometimes. That seems like it'd be fun, but all of mine have been with teenagers. And there are always some teenagers that don't want to be there. Some of you are those teenagers, and some of you are the parents of those teenagers. They don't want to be there. And always, by the end of the week, some of those teenagers that didn't want to be there are glad that they were there. In fact, they'll come up to you the last night, they're crying, all this stuff, and they'll say, this has been the best week of my life. And my last sermon on these mission trips, when I would lead them frequently, was always the same. It's always the same. What made this week great? What made this week one of the best weeks of your life? What made you say, I'm glad I spent spring break here rather than where I was going to spend spring break? What makes that possible? And I always point them towards this. You know what we did? We brought you down here to wherever we are. And we woke you up early in the morning, and we said, here's your Devo, go read some scripture and pray. And if you don't, like, you know, like, well, you have to. Like, we're the adults, go do it. And we made you come to worship every night. In fact, we checked your bed to make sure you weren't skipping out. We made you worship every night. We put you in a group of people and said, this is your community for this week. And we made you talk to them every night. And we literally put you in a 15-passenger van, put tools in the back of it, drove you to somebody's house and said, this is the person that you are serving this week. And you spent your life this week with your life revolved around prayer and worship and scripture and community and serving other people, and you loved it. You know why? Because this week you were living the way that you were created to live. You were not created to live a life where your stakes are defined by other people. You're not created to live a life where everything's just crazy and the wheels are off every day. You were not created to live that kind of life. You were created in the image of God to live a life that is oriented around Him. And we always tell Him, we made it easy for you this week. It's going to be harder for you when you get back to Dallas, but you can do it. And I'll say that to you this morning. You can do it. You can get up in the morning and grab your Bible rather than your phone. You can pause for 5 minutes, 3 times during the day, and pray. You can pull those kids aside and say one-on-one time, just for 3 minutes, every afternoon. You can do it. And when you do, you're not in any way earning God's grace. That's a free gift. He's just given it to you. But you're orienting your life towards Him, and you're allowing Him to form you into the man or the woman, the basket, that He wants you to be. A basket that is formed by Him and that is filled with His love and grace. Filled with His love and grace for you and for you to share with other people. Friends, we're in a time of disruption. And it's a time when the people of faith need to get rerooted in the one who promised us rest and who promised us an abundant life and who moved forward orienting our lives around Him and that promise and allowing Him to pour into our lives daily, building our lives around Him. Because the promise of rest and the promise of an abundant, full life are promises that He will keep. Even if the weaving of your life may change and it may not always be pretty, those stakes will always be solid. Every day, He will be with you if you orient that life towards Him. God, thank you for this time that we've had together. I pray that we will be men and women, teenagers and children, who walk out of here allowing our lives to be woven around you rather than seeking to weave you in the places where we'd like to have you. We want to be men and women, teenagers and children, whose lives are being formed by you. Lord, help us have the discipline. Help us have the faith. Help us have the courage to do that, to get rerooted in you, and to go forward creatively and courageously through this time with new routines and new habits that you'll use to form our hearts and our minds. We love you, and we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.